You're listening to KYRS 88.1 and 92.3 FM. Hi, everybody. It's Federica on the show. So did you hear? I am recording from Italy today. I'm actually out of the country until August 15th. So, the show's going to be a little bit different for the next couple of weeks. I'm recording alone today. And since I'm here in Europe, and, you know, it's a little bit more difficult for me to find guests to interview in Spokane while I'm away. Like, I guess if I really wanted to, I could make it work, but I'm working with, you know, some limited technology. I'm lucky that I even have a way to record here. So, taking a little bit of a spin on the show for you guys the next few weeks. For those of you who've been listening to the show for a little while, you may have heard some of my special episodes where I talk about Italy and Italian culture. And I think that that's kind of the style that I'm going to take this show, or the direction I'm going to take the show in while I am still overseas. And so expect today's episode and the next couple episodes to just be kind of more of a personal reflection story about my experiences traveling. It'll be a little bit more lighthearted, and hopefully it'll be enjoyable for all of you who are listening. And maybe a nice break from some of the not so fun and enjoyable things that you may be hearing about on the news and on the radio and just in the world and it's otherwise. So, yeah, I'll get right into it. First of all, I'll just start by kind of talking about a little why I'm here. For those of you who know me and who have been following the show know that I have family here in Italy. I was here in last September. I actually recorded an episode or maybe two while I was still here. I don't remember exactly. I think it was one. But I come to Italy every year, usually for at least a couple weeks to about a month to see my dad and my half of the family that lives here. And this year's trip was a little different because I also did a 10-day kind of whirlwind trip through Central Europe, and it was my first time doing that since high school. So it was a really cool experience, and I'm just going to be sharing a little bit about where I went, what I did, what are the highlights of everywhere I've traveled, and some insights I've taken away from kind of seeing life from a little bit of a different perspective in a different place lately. So, first of all, the reason why I went to Central Europe first was because my partner is currently stationed in Germany. Well, he's on deployment there. He's military. And, you know, it just seemed like a cool opportunity to go visit, unlike his other assignments where he's not required to stay on base or it's more difficult for... say if I wanted to come visit him, like, you know, might be really challenging in some of the other places he's been, but, you know, in this case, it's just Germany, and figured why not. Made a couple other trips while I was there, and it was 10 days of almost nonstop travel. It was a crazy whirlwind, but much, much needed and much appreciated. Part of the reason for me doing that was just, you know, kind of why not. But, you know, also, I'm not going to lie. There was a part of me that really just wanted to kind of get out of the U.S. for a while. If you've been listening to my show, you probably heard my dissatisfaction with the state of affairs as they currently are. A lot of you probably feel the same. And one of the reasons I kind of wanted to get away for a while is just there's a couple reasons. You know, it's easy to get kind of pulled into the perspective if you're somebody who lives in the United States that the United States is kind of like your entire world. It's a perspective. The way that I see it is kind of like it feels like kind of living in a vacuum. All the discussions we have about society and our political system and what's going on in the current affairs, we perceive it and feel it as though it is the entire world. I think there's a few reasons for this. One of it, them just being the fact that the United States is so big, unlike a lot of places in Europe where your country is a small part of this greater collective of countries that are share very close, you know, share a lot of history and close borders. The relationship between countries here in Western Europe can resemble more like the resembles the relationship that the United States, like within the United States, that states have with each other, if that makes sense. So within the United States, it's easy to fall into the perspective that our culture and our reality and our society is like the entire kind of like the only one that exists in the world. And of course, we know that's not true, but just think about like the channels of information going out and coming in. When we watch the news in the United States, it's just 90% everything you hear is U.S. news. You might hear a blip here and there, a little snippet about information about what's going on in the rest of the world for a couple minutes, but then it's right back to U.S. news. And the same thing with our media and culture. Like, media is a huge export of the U.S., and that's definitely noticeable when you travel outside the U.S. I always remember coming here to Italy and traveling in Europe in general. You just turn on the TV, and even now with Netflix and everything, many of the top shows and the top movies are all U.S.-made movies. Same thing with music. The U.S.'s presence is felt everywhere in the world. However, the rest of the world's presence isn't felt as much in the U.S. It's this weird, like, we kind of exist in a vacuum. And for me, you know, I kind of just get tired of being exposed to only the same culture for so long. Of course, there's a lot of different cultures within the United States, even in our community in Spokane, but it's one thing to see bits of it. It's another thing to be completely immersed in something else. And I just kind of grew up used to having that natural break when I would go on summer vacation as a kid growing up, because I would come to Italy every summer. And so I would always have kind of have this natural like break from routine from the United States, and I get to live in a different culture for a little while. It hasn't been as consistent as an adult, you know, that making that trip is a big time commitment. So, but I also just kind of notice it more, you know, your perspective changes over time as far as how you interact with the place. And that's always something that I've most recently found interesting. But anyways, yeah, basically, long story short, I needed a change of scenery and kind of get away from the toxicity that is, you know, just the toxicity that is in the United States right now. So anyways, with that said, Europe's been great. I started in Germany. And, I first arrived in Germany, but the first place I went to, after my partner found out that he could get some time off, was to Amsterdam. And this was huge for me because, you know, it was totally an unplanned trip. We were only there for like a night. It was a couple days trip, and it was really last minute, but I couldn't resist the chance. We could just get in the car and drive there. The drive from the town where my partner is staying, called Bitburg, to Amsterdam in the Netherlands is about the same length, if not a little less, than driving from Spokane to Seattle. So it's like, okay, we got to do it. And it was, Amsterdam has been my top city to visit in Europe and kind of in the world for a while now. So even though it was a really quick whirlwind trip, I was super excited to go. We drove up there the day after I arrived, and I have not been that excited to like visit a place since I think being a kid and like going to Disneyland or something like that, or like maybe my first big music festival. Like, it was that kind of like giddy excitement. Like, we parked the car. Well, after the debacle, once we finally arrived and got settled, I got excited. Arriving there was difficult. Word of advice, if you were ever thinking about traveling to Amsterdam, it is not an easy city to drive in. That city is definitely not set up for like car traffic. It's very pedestrian. There's a lot of bikes. It's I think it's like the most bike friendly city in Europe, if not the world. Trams, so little every other type of mode of transportation but driving. And of course, I took us to the wrong hotel because I am not in charge of directions for a reason. So getting there was a little stressful, but we got to our hotel, we checked in, and as soon as I kind of washed up and came back out, like, I literally had to contain myself from, like, skipping around. And, like, it was, like, that kind of elation that you get when you're, like, a kid and you just show up at, like, a park or at a theme park. I haven't been that excited to be somewhere new in a long time. So that was a huge bonus of that. It was a really nice thing to experience. So other highlights from that, you know, again, we were only there for a day, but I don't know. It was really refreshing stepping into a place where there are so many different kinds of people from all over the world. Amsterdam, I think, is the most visited capital city in Europe and is known for many things. Of course, there's a lot of history, which is really fascinating. It's known for just being really picturesque, and it absolutely is. Like, my expectations of the city as far as, like, how it would look and what you see in, like, travel Instagram pictures and movies and stuff, like, it actually looks like that. The city is absolutely beautiful. It's been really, like, the buildings are all immaculately preserved. It's very clean. It's just a very well taken care of city, and it is beautifully picturesque. You know, we've got the canals and the little bridges crossing them. There's a lot, the whole place feels very artistic. There's little, you know, street art things all over the place. Like there's a, you know, you'll see a bike all covered in flowers just parked next to a tree, and it's just like a little public art space, and people can go and take pictures there. And I don't know, it just feels like it felt like a very artistic space, and that really spoke to me. Of course, though, you know, Amsterdam is also very much known for its nightlife and its music scene. So, you know, I happened to be there the same weekend as weekend one of Tomorrowland, which is, I think, the world's biggest music festival. It's 3 weekends. It's in, and it takes place in Belgium, and it's like a couple hours away from Amsterdam, I believe. So, you know, there weren't as many big artists or acts while I was there in Amsterdam. Normally, you know, you could find some of the biggest names in dance music performing at any club, like at any time. But we did find some really nice, like, cool bars, or I guess clubs, I should say. And I got to get a little taste of the nightlife, and yeah, it was really it was interesting. I had a couple interesting nightlife experiences so far in Europe. My first impression with, like, well, something that I just found interesting about Amsterdam and why it's so popular with people who flock there for kind of like the nightlife scene. Well, first and foremost, of course, a lot of people know that Amsterdam is known for being like a weed legal city. I think I'm not sure if it's the Netherlands in general or just Amsterdam, but you have the weed coffee shops where you can go and sit at a cafe. Also, cafes, like, there's a difference I found out between what the weed coffee shops are called and, like, regular coffee shops are. If something is called a coffee shop in Amsterdam, that's the weed coffee shop. If it's called a cafe, then it's just a regular coffee shop. So, just a fun fact if you do visit. But, you know, it is interesting. It was an interesting thing to see, like, going to a place where it's really an exception to the norm here in Europe. Weed is not legal in most of Europe still. I think Amsterdam is really the exception in as far as, like, it being a place where not only is recreational use legal, but it's also legal in public, which in a lot of even in, like, legal states in the U.S. is still not technically legal, even though, you know, everybody does it anyways. But, yeah, it was just funny seeing tourists who were, like, going to the weed cafes, like, we're gonna get stoned. You know, like, just getting giddy and excited about being able to use cannabis. And You know, living in Washington State, which is a legal state, it doesn't even like faze me anymore being around cannabis. Like, you know, it's normal to, it feels normal to us now, I feel like, for most of us that live in Washington. Like, it's not even something we think about. But, you know, here in Europe, it really is, like, a big deal. So it was just cool to see all these tourists getting so, like, giddy and excited about being able to smoke weed. And, yeah, that was kind of funny. And it also just kind of made me think, like, why... It's crazy to me that the, like, weed coffee shops are a thing in Amsterdam, but they're not a thing in, like, Washington or Portland. Like, if you think about it. A weed coffee shop, like, that is the most, like, Seattle or Portland thing I've ever heard of. Why is that not a thing? I think it should be. It's like, literally, like, they would make so much money, but even then it'd just be like a cool experience. Like, that's like the most PNW kind of vibe thing I've ever heard. So get with the times, PNW. Anyways, it was funny to see. Also, I believe it is one of the few places where psilocybin is decriminalized. And you could, you know, unlike, I think, anywhere else in the world right now, you, just like you can go into a store and purchase cannabis legally, or I guess not illegally, you can do the same with psilocybin, which is the active component found in magic mushrooms. Now, fun fact, the mushrooms themselves, I found out, are not actually decriminalized. Those are still illegal. However, what is called the truffles, which is the underground part of the same organism, is legal. But it... So, when you go to purchase what are called so-called magic mushrooms in Amsterdam, you're not getting the mushrooms, you're getting the, like, think of it as, like, the root of the mushrooms, which mushrooms don't have roots, but, you know, the equivalent of that. It's part of the same organism, has the same psychoactive component. And I thought that was interesting. If you've listened to my show in the past year, you know that I've done a few episodes with Decriminalize Spokane, talking about the subject of psilocybin and, psychedelic research and decriminalization in the United States. And it's cool to see that, you know, go to somewhere where the kind of space for recreational and spiritual use is already in place and where it is decriminalized. And it was cool to see kind of an example of what that could look like in the United States or these places that are pushing for further decriminalization of so-called psychedelic substances, and psilocybin in particular, could look like. yeah, just kind of interesting things. I started really nerding out about, like, drug policy and research, and especially psychedelic research. It's a field that I really find is fascinating. So definitely something that I think would be interesting to keep kind of revisiting and maybe talk about on further shows once I'm back in the United States. But yeah, anyways, what I especially loved about Amsterdam and all these things considered is that I felt like it was a space where, like, I just immediately belonged. Granted, I had hyped it up a lot in my head, but it just felt like it would have been cool to visit the city for any one of those dimensions that I talked about, whether it's for the nightlife, whether it, you know, if you are a recreational psychedelic enthusiast, or if you are traveling, somebody who's really interested in the history or art. Like, the city just has everything. It just had it all. And it was cool to see so many different dimensions existing in one space. In a city, in a single culture too, and just being able to see people from all over the world, there was just like so much, there was so much muchiness. This is my very astute word for describing that experience, but it was just like there was something for everybody. It felt like, and there was always something to do. It like it's felt like it was a place that matches what my brain craves in life, like all these different levels, all these different areas of interests, and there's always something going on. It was the perfect setting for my ADHD brain and my creative brain and everything. So the city still, I would say, I'd still put it on my top to go back to list. Hopefully in the future it'll coincide with some music festivals as well, so I can really get the full experience. But 10 out of 10 recommend visiting if you're thinking about traveling to Europe anytime soon. Definitely put Amsterdam on your list. It is worth the hype. So yeah, that's my take on it. So moving on, next, after Amsterdam, I think it just kind of went back to Germany for a little bit and just kind of, well, no, we went back to Germany, visited the city of Cologne. I'm going to go back and I'm going to kind of skip over that because I want to group it by country. We went to a couple different places in Germany, so I'll talk about that as well. But besides the German cities, the other places that I visited were Luxembourg and Brussels, Belgium, and that was pretty cool too. Brussels is just, you know, directly, if you travel directly south from Amsterdam down just across the border into Belgium, it's the capital city of Belgium, but it is also, I think, the headquarters of the EU. There's a lot of NATO, the big NATO presence there, so I was only there for a night too. I pretty much just did a bunch of shopping and explored the city. But it was cool seeing like the headquarters for like the United Nations, or not United Nations, the, you know, all the EU establishments and NATO. As somebody who studied international relations and global affairs, actually remember there was a study abroad program that I could have taken that would have taken me to, Brussels, and I think also The Hague. And so it was cool to see that. It's not like you can really necessarily go into these buildings and like explore them as a tourist. Like I don't think you can really tour the NATO headquarters or anything like that. So there isn't as much interaction. It's not like an interactive aspect of the city, but just something that I found interesting. And what really was also stood out is that it was a very, very international city. Again, people from all over the world, but I think I saw the biggest like concentration of just different people from literally all over the planet out of anywhere I've seen there. Literally people from all over the planet. And yeah, it was almost like a little overwhelming sometimes, not knowing what language to speak to people in. By the way, the official languages of Belgium, I found out, are French and Dutch. And, I speak a little bit of French. I studied French for 6 years. However, I rarely use it anymore. And this was an experience that really helped me find out just how much French I've lost. So that was kind of discouraging. I went from being able to have a pretty thorough, simple vocabulary, but full-on, intellectual conversation and writing basic essays, to struggling to order a sandwich at a restaurant. It was really disappointing. So, I managed to still get by. A lot of people speak English, too, so if you don't speak another language, don't worry. You will most likely be fine. But there was a lot of different people. It was a city that felt a little bit more, it kind of definitely felt more businessy, I would say. It didn't really have the same kind of vibe as Amsterdam, in that you could tell there was a lot of nightlife going on and a more artistic aspects. Brussels definitely felt like this was, it was a very kind of utilitarian city, but still absolutely beautiful. If you ever do travel there, go to the you have to visit the Royal Palace in the center of the city. I believe Brussels does still have a royal family, although like many other monarchies that remain in Europe, the monarchy there is really, their role is more of that of a figurehead than an actual government entity. Same thing with the Netherlands. They still technically have a king and queen, but I think it operates kind of similarly to how, like, the British royal family stands in, as far as, like, them kind of just being a figurehead in British society, but still an important part of, like, from the society aspect. They just aren't, like, an official part of the executive government. But yeah, the royal palace is still visible, and it's one of the most, like, elegant buildings I've ever seen. It's just, like, so ornate. And it was really cool to see how such a, like, it was very clear to see that, although being a very small country, historically, like, Belgium is a very wealthy country. And you can really see it in, like, the royal palace and anything around the square in the center. You really see, like, wow, this is a place, like, this is, and I think still today there is a lot of wealth around there. So just little things you learn to pick up on when you travel. You learn to see, like, wow, okay, this looks like there's a place where there's a lot of wealth. Or sometimes you travel to a different place in the same country or a different place around the world, and you can really see just, like, okay, this is really different. You know, maybe this is still a developing part, or this is, you know, not as wealthy. They're just little things you learn to really notice when you go to somewhere new. And I think that comes with the fact that just when you're exploring a new place, you just pay attention to your surroundings more. And I think, you know, with my traveling, I've definitely learned to notice. I've noticed this in just cities in general when I travel now. Like, I can tell by looking around, like, okay, this is a place where people have money, or this is a wealthy society, or this is not so much, or maybe this is an area that's really struggling. And I think when I was younger and I was traveling, I wouldn't really pay attention to those things. So I just kind of learned to notice how much my eye has evolved as a traveler as well. And I definitely noticed that, like, in Brussels, in the city. Like, okay, wow, this is, at least that area I was in, maybe, was very, obviously, like, there's a lot of history there, and that's clearly a lot of wealth. I didn't really do that much, like, historical stuff. There were some museums I could have gone to. It was a little harder to get around. You know, the city was definitely a little bit more sprawled out than, say, Amsterdam. So, and I was just on foot. But good shopping. I will say that if you like shopping, this is a good place for you. Of course, I got some Belgian chocolates, which are freaking delicious. And I tried to bring a box of them back. Hopefully they haven't all melted by now, because it also got very, very hot in Europe the last 2 weeks. If you're traveling to Europe soon this summer, be prepared just to be dealing with some heat. It's been a hot summer pretty much most places. I know definitely Southern Europe, but Central Europe as well. Just a word of advice. That was my biggest takeaway from Belgium, or I'm sorry, from Brussels. I didn't really get to see much of the rest of the country, although that would be cool to do. I did see some Tomorrowland people in the wild in Brussels. That was also kind of funny. Because, like I said earlier, the Tomorrowland Festival was happening, and I was there between weekend one and two of the festival. And the festival itself takes place in a small town, like, outside of the city, I think an hour away from the city. But it was, I could definitely tell who the festival goers were in the crowds walking around. A lot of Americans, for sure. Older, like, okay, as far as festival goers go, if you're somebody who's familiar in the Raven Festival community, the people that I tended to see there were probably later 20s and 30s, which I think that kind of makes sense for a festival that's as, like, takes as much dedication and, honestly, money as Tomorrowland. So that was interesting to see, but it's funny to me that I've kind of, like, developed an eye. I don't really know how to describe it, but even in a foreign country that I've never been to before, and from, like, from a distance, I can just pick out who the ravers are. And it's just, like, I can pick up a certain vibe. Some things are really obvious. Like, I saw these two girls wearing the really colorful festival braids. walking through the crowd, and I was like, okay, clearly that's like a hairstyle. It's a look that you pretty much only see at festivals, I think, especially in Europe. Like, and people don't tend to dress up as much for music festivals, so seeing that hairstyle in the crowd, I was like, okay, they must be going to Tomorrowland, and they're most likely from the US, maybe the UK. But then, yeah, I don't know. I could just, like, look at people. Sometimes it's because they had wristbands, but there was just a look. There's a type. And I've learned I can really just pick up on people. I can find my brethren of ravers and festival goers no matter where I go in the world, apparently. That was kind of funny. Just a short day in Brussels. Those were my biggest takeaways or highlights from that experience. After that, or I guess most of the rest of the time that I was traveling through Central Europe, I was in Germany. And I was in, I think, 4 cities, technically. Oh, I skipped Luxembourg. Luxembourg was cute. It's a teeny tiny country that lies basically kind of catty corner between Belgium and Germany and France. And it's basically the size of a municipality. Like, I think it's, like, about the size of Spokane County or something like that. Like, it's a city that is also a country. It's one of those teeny tiny boys. But it's, I would say, probably about the equivalent of a county in the United States. But it still was very cute. It felt very French. I ended up in Luxembourg because I had to take a train from Brussels to Luxembourg to get back into Germany, so it was just kind of happenstance, but it was a place that was on, like, to see on my list, so that was cool to do. Very cute. Also very wealthy for being so teeny tiny. You could definitely tell just by looking around and seeing how people were dressed, and the shops, I mean, it was like all Gucci, Prada, designer, you know, Yves Saint Laurent, and just all these big designer names. So I didn't end up staying in Luxembourg, but if you for some reason happen to be staying there, might be kind of pricey. That's my impression, but, you know, I don't really know. That's just my assumption. But yeah, then the rest of the time I ended up staying in Germany with my fiance, and we went to 4 cities. We were in, so first of all, the town he was staying in, it's called Bitburg. It's kind of a small little town, not a ton to do. Still pretty cute, but, you know, not a lot to do. So we ended up staying in, there's a bigger town nearby called Trier. It's Trier. And it was the oldest city in Germany. There's actually it's built on Roman ruins, and there's actually you can actually see the old city gates that were built during the Roman era there in the city. So that was cool to see. It was interesting how I could tell it was a city that had Roman influence, because I just noticed the way the streets were laid out, and just the kind of like the bones of the city, I guess, the way it was structured, felt similar to how, like, cities in Italy are structured. Of course, a lot of, you know, the cities here date back to the Roman times, here in Italy, I mean. But yeah, it was interesting to see that, like, I could still tell that influence was there, even 2,000 years, like, after 2,000 years, you could still feel, like, the imprint of the society that lived there. You know, those are thousands of years ago, and the way that the structure is built, and the city, the way the city feels. It got really, really hot when we were there, so there was a couple days I just kind of hid in our Airbnb. I mean, like, it was like 40 degrees Celsius, which is like over 100, like 100 and plus degrees. It ain't supposed to get that hot in Germany, y'all. I think that heat wave hit the UK first and then hit Central Europe. And boy, let's just go on a little caveat here or tangent, but it's interesting to me to see, like, clearly these are places that are not built for the heat, because most of the buildings didn't have air conditioning. We were very lucky that our Airbnb had this little fan that you could pour water into. Like, it had, like, a water reserve that it used to... It kind of worked like a tiny swamp cooler, I guess. And that helped keep the apartment cooler. But, like, I feel so bad for anybody who doesn't have AC. It reminded me of the heat wave we had in the P&W last summer, summer 2021. Which... I'm sure all of you remember very well, and I know a lot of people really suffered without air conditioning, because, you know, the P&W is not supposed to get that hot. So, yay climate change! I think, supposedly, that kind of thing, these kind of extreme heat waves are just gonna keep becoming more common in, you know, on different parts of the world, so... Yeah, it's just, it's kind of crazy to see just how much the climate is already, like, just how crazy the climate already is becoming all over the world, and how it really does impact everyday life, like, already at this point. I mean, it was to the point you really couldn't stand being outside at all, but it's also, like, a health and safety thing issue. Like, people, it was, you can get in trouble if you... can't get away from the heat like that, you can really end up in trouble. So yeah, just a little tangent there about climate change. Anyways, yeah, I had a couple chill days. It was a nice time to just kind of relax, because it was really go trip, and yeah, I don't know, it was nice and kind of relaxing. The two other cities that we saw were Cologne and Frankfurt. And I ended up in Frankfurt because that's where my flight to Italy left out of. Cologne we went to just for fun. The first weekend we were in Germany. But both cities we ended up going to some... we ended up going to raves. And that was a really interesting... Those were both very interesting experiences. So... gonna talk a little bit about that now. Go on a little, you know, subsection. That's supposed to be an air quote sound. About, you know, raving and EDM. Since that's a huge part of my life. And, yeah, these were my... this was the first time I went to an event besides a club. Like, a regular club. In Europe, you know, I've been to... like regular, like, dance clubs before, but I hadn't really been, or I guess they call them discotheques here, in a lot of places in Europe. What we would call a dance club, they call a discotheque. So I've been to those a few times, but I've never been to, like, an actual, like, rave in Europe. So it was a couple interesting first experiences. The one we saw in Cologne, that was actually a Subtronics show. Now, if you're not familiar with Subtronics, he's a dubstep artist that plays really, like, heavy bass music. Pretty, really popular in Spokane, popular in the P&W, where dubstep is popular in general. So it was really interesting to see that he would be on tour in Germany, like, in Europe in general, because that kind of music, that genre of EDM is not typically popular here. It's still very much being discovered at this stage. So I was kind of surprised to see that, you know, an American dubstep or heavy bass style artist would be playing in Europe. But then again, I thought about it, and I guess it kind of makes sense, because Germany, I noticed this in general about Germany, there's kind of a similar vibe to the P&W in some ways when it comes to the music scene. Metal is also very popular in Germany. And of course, Rammstein, big German metal group from the 90s, I believe. Maybe late 80s, but 90s definitely. Yeah, there's definitely a big following, and I think the Germans are really into, like, the heavier, dark stuff. Like, kind of similar to what's popular in, like, Seattle and P&W. We saw a lot of, like, black clothes and chains and, like, that whole kind of vibe. So it was a interesting similarity. And there's a lot of crossover between the metal scene and the dubstep scene, if you're going across, like, crossing over from the rock genre to the EDM genre. So it would make sense that there would be a show in Germany. But, you know, I was just curious. I was like, okay, well, I gotta see this. So we went to this show. And it was in a... It was like a big... It was a converted warehouse called Boot House. And, like, going by it from the outside, you wouldn't even know it was there. There's like a barely lit sign behind some barbed wire tucked into a corner on the side of the road. They would, like, you literally would just walk by it and not think anything of it. But if you walk in through the entrance and, like, get past the entrance, and you see it's actually a pretty huge venue. And yeah, it had a really, like, kind of, it was modern and open, but it still had that very, like, warehousey vibe. And it was packed, man. People really showed up. My fiance and I were probably like one of the oldest people there in the crowd by about a decade, so that was interesting. A lot of young, very, very young crowd. I tend to notice that. I think that's just true of the dubstep bass music scene in general. It tends to be a younger crowd because it's a younger genre. But in here, in this case, in Germany, it was like, wow, yeah, these are kids. Also, you know, I have to remind myself, and what one thing you might notice is different if you ever experienced nightlife somewhere in Europe, is that here, like, drinking ages are lower, and a lot of times admittance to these events, the age is lower. Age of admittance. Admittance. I can't talk today. But I'm really struggling with that word for some reason. Admission. There we go. That sounds better. The age of admission is lower because drinking age is lower. So 18-year-olds. It was just weird seeing, like, I just funny looking around the crowd and seeing, like, literal children. Like, oh my gosh, I feel old. I couldn't really talk with people that much, you know. It was hard. Well, one, it's just like raves and clubs are not great spaces for talking because it's loud. But it was really interesting being at an event where it's like, yeah, this is my kind of vibe. Like, I go and do these experience. I go to these events all the time. I'm at shows all the time, but really feeling out of place because, like, we were probably one of the only English speakers there. You could kind of get by with the language. Like, it's most people speak a little bit, like, at least enough English to kind of get by, and you can kind of make your point. But definitely the only Americans that I saw in that entire crowd. And honestly, it was kind of refreshing. I was like, oh yeah, like, this is what it's like being kind of like a little snippet of, like, I guess what being a minority would be like, not ethnically, because it was a very, very white crowd. Go figure. But just culturally and kind of being out of my element, and that kind of thing, it's refreshing, and it kind of, it, you know, it keeps me on my toes every once in a while. But good vibes. It was just funny seeing people. Half the crowd was going crazy, headbanging to the music. The other half was just kind of like bobbing around, like, I haven't really heard this kind of music that much, not sure what to do. A couple people asked, that I did talk to, asked about if I was going to Lost Lands, which I think Lost Lands is a big festival that's hosted by Excision, who is a big name of the heavy bass genre, VDM, and it takes place in the United States. It was interesting to see that people are starting to, like, really, even, like, across the pond in Europe, people are starting to find out about events like that, because they're definitely more niche still, I would say, in the music world. So, but yeah, that was cool. What's really different about the rave scene that I saw, from what I saw in Germany, but I think this extends to Europe in general as well, is that if you go to raves in the United States, you've probably been exposed to what people call PLUR, like peace, love, unity, respect. It's a saying, but it's also kind of like it's a, like a culture that exists within the rave scene in the United States, and you have people who trade candy, which are the little plastic bracelets that have, you make, they say have different sayings on them, and there's a handshake you do where you could trade those bracelets with people at raves, and it's a whole custom, and it's really a big part of the U.S. rave culture, as are like really extravagant outfits and, you know, the colors and just really, you know, crazy out there outfits. But here in Europe, that's not really a thing. It was interesting to learn, like, that kind of, that aspect of the, of rave culture never really crossed the pond. So, it was different in that sense. And it didn't, I don't know, it seemed like people were just kind of hanging out with their own groups. Sometimes, a lot of times at raves in the U.S., you see people going up to each other. It's a really social place. It's a place where people from different groups, or even people who are on their own, go to interact with people. It's very, it can be very social. And what I saw was more like people just kind of hanging out with their own crowds and chilling. So that was kind of different. But, I mean, overall, still was really fun. And then the other, more, like, kind of crazy, I guess, from the sense that it was different from what I'm used to. The other event that we went to was in Frankfurt, and we went to a techno show. Like, actual techno. And, you know, techno has been popular here in Europe for a while. It's starting to become more popular in the United States as well. And especially if you were in, like, Los Angeles or New York, and you listen to EDM, electronic dance music, you know that there's been this resurgence of house music, tech house, and techno, and it's definitely growing, but still very much kind of a... Not really a popular thing in the U.S., but here in Europe, it's been huge, and it's really booming right now. Germany has a, you know, is infamous for its techno, like, dark, undergroundy, gritty techno scene. So we found out there was actually a show happening in what was a converted warehouse in a building that was attached to our hotel we were staying in Frankfurt. So we were like, well, we have to go. Yeah, that was really interesting. This was the closest I've ever been to feeling like I was, like, at an actual underground show, like, illegal underground. It was not illegal. It was a ticketed event, but it felt like as if you would have, if you could step in a time portal and warp back to, like, 1999 in rave culture, like, in the U.S. or anywhere in the world. It had this, like, kind of gritty feel, and it was just in this, it was in this dark, grimy warehouse. There was, like, not even ventilation inside, which made it really, it was hot. It was, like, not very comfortable. But, yeah, just, like, this darkened warehouse. There was, you know, they had the lights set up and everything, but pretty basic compared to what you see at some of the more elaborate, like, club shows and whatnot. Crowded, people just, like, thrashing around. It literally, like, the way people danced literally looked like some, like, what I would see in videos of raves from the 90s on, like, YouTube. It was just, like, it was, like, a blast from the past. So, that was, for me, cool to see. But, I definitely stuck out like a sore thumb. All black is generally the fashion memo for the techno scene. So I still did all black, but I still kind of blinged it up a bit. Had to wear my 5-inch platform boots. And that definitely drew a lot of attention. I think people just in general tend to, like, not go as crazy with the fashion, but I was just like, I can't help it. I'm going to do it anyways. Which, of course, drew a lot of attention. But, you know, whatever. I'm never going to see any of them again. And, yeah, that stood out. And the other thing that was really different that really stuck with me is that there were no phones allowed inside the venue. And I actually found out that that was a fairly common thing in a lot of venues that host raves specifically in Germany. And that's, to me, is like crazy because it's just so different from the scene in the U.S. where it seems like everybody is on their, you know, whenever you're watching a show, even in a small local event, everybody's on their phones recording drops, recording themselves, posting for the gram. It's all on screen all the time. And that is like the complete opposite here. And I kind of asked, you know, I managed to talk to this one girl who spoke some English about, you know, what we were here and what I saw was different. And I asked about the phone thing, and she had said, you know, that's a common thing you'll find in a lot of places, at least within Germany, because these are spaces that people go to get away. You know, these are spaces people go to let loose and be themselves and be away from prying eyes. And that's, I think, really, that's like the origins, that's the core of like how rave culture started. It was a place for people to get away and be free, and, you know, it's kind of a safe space, a safe haven away from prying eyes and the judgment of society and whatnot. And if stuff isn't ending up on phones and being recorded and ending up on the internet, I mean, that definitely does, you can definitely see how it takes away from that. So it was really eye-opening and kind of made me think, especially since I do content creation within the EDM community. You know, my Instagram is all EDM stuff, and I'm posting about the events I go to and working with EDM Maniac as a writer, but also doing some social media stuff for them. Like, so much of my attention has become like kind of consumed by the social media aspect, like getting things for the gram and whatnot when I'm at festivals and raves. And it really made me think, like, not having my phone, was like, I kept having moments where it's like, ooh, I should have my phone to record this. Oh wait, I can't. And it's like, it was just a like an eye-opening thing to think about and to just realize how much like this hyper focus on recording everything and posting and social media and whatnot has perforated all aspects of our lives and my own life, definitely. And it was a refreshing kind of change and really forced me to think, like, sometimes it's just better to just be in the moment. It's not all about the gram. And yeah, so that was really different, but I think I'm kind of on board with it. I think maybe this is a trend some places should start upholding in the U.S. Maybe it wouldn't be popular right away, but I'm sure it would attract the right kind of crowd that want to use that space, like spaces, especially raves and, you know, concerts, places where people are supposed to go to kind of unplug for that exact purpose. So yeah, I'm kind of for it, honestly. But yeah, so that kind of wrapped up that was the last thing we did in Germany, the last thing that I did before coming to Italy. So that really kind of wraps up my Central Europe trip. After that, I came down to Italy, and that's where I am now. That's where I'm recording from. I think maybe for next week's episode, I'll get more into my like discussion about being here in Italy and how that's been so far. And yeah, that'll be, I think, yeah, definitely the next episode I can do that. I've got a couple episodes to record from here, but I'm just not going to have time to go over that today. But yeah, so overall though, that was my trip through Central Europe. So I did, what, 5 countries? Germany, Belgium, Luxembourg, the Netherlands, and now Italy. So yeah, 5 countries. It's pretty cool. Haven't done a trip like that since I was in high school, and it was nice being able to fully experience all these places as an adult, I will say it that way. Because when I toured through Central Europe as a high schooler, it was like part of a school trip. You know, obviously you were kind of restricted as to what you could do. This time I felt like it was different. You know, going as an adult was a different experience. I could really do more, but overall, it was a tiring, hectic trip, but a really cool trip. I got to finally just feel like I could reconnect with myself from like a different perspective on life and get out of my routine and I just like kind of wake up a little bit. So it's been a really cool experience. If you're thinking about traveling to any of these places, definitely, you know, I would say any of the places I went to are great places to visit. And, you know, take some time to just, if you can, kind of country hop a little bit, but also take some time to, you know, I would definitely suggest any of the cities I went to are places you want to spend more than just like a day in. If I had the luxury of being able to do that, this trip I would have. But yeah, definitely give yourself some time to really get to know a place when you travel abroad. Because it's one thing to see the big cities and the touristy things, and those things are worth seeing. But there's also a whole other dimension to, you know, a place and a country and in a society, a community. So to really take the time to connect with the community if you have the time to. But yeah, overall, I would say it has been a great trip. I would say my favorite of them all was Amsterdam. Can't wait to go back. Hopefully maybe next year. But yeah, if you have any questions about my trip or thinking about making a trip to Europe sometime, or you have a cool story from a trip you made and you want to connect with me, please do. I love the interaction from listeners. So, you know, if you guys want to reach out to me, I'm all for it. I love talking to listeners. So you can do that by emailing me at sodidyouhear@kyrs.org. And yeah, we'll talk more. Next week's episode, I'll kind of continue with the Europe stories. It'll focus more on Italy, though, so that'll be a little different. But yeah, stay tuned for that. It should be a fun episode. But until then, thank you all for tuning in and listening today, and I hope you have a wonderful weekend. Till next time.